Right now, we get support from Emily Wilkins as we really find, Paul, I love what you said earlier, where we really get down to the countdown to the midterm elections. Emily, there's a cottage industry that you are expert on, including handsome Greg Giroux, guys like David Wasserman and the others, the Cook Political Report, 535, Greg Giroux at Bloomberg, et cetera, Anthony over at CBS, and on and on. What do the people, the pros that really, really monitor this hour to hour, what is their message today?
So I think today there's still a lot of questions about, we're narrowing down the two real Senate races that are going to be Republicans' opportunities to pick up and potentially carry the Senate. It's still looking a little more likely that Democrats hold the Senate, but the two races that you really got to watch are Nevada, which has always been interesting, and then Georgia, which I think has gotten way more interesting this past week, of course, with the Republican nominee Herschel Walker reporting coming out that he previously paid for a girlfriend's abortion despite his very strong anti-abortion stance. And I think we've seen a lot of the Republican leaders in the party go ahead, stand by Herschel Walker. He has denied the allegations. And so you're seeing them sort of say, you know, if he's denying it, we're going to stick by him. But I think it's going to be a big question on how this plays out with the voters. Remember, Herschel Walker is up against Raphael Warnock, who had one of the big victories in 2020, flipping that Senate seat after Biden picked up Georgia. That was a huge surprise state in 2020. And I think 2022 is really going to show us a little bit more as to if that state's going to stay blue or if this was sort of a one-time thing.
And I just know Herschel Walker from his football days back in Georgia. I don't know much about his politics other than what I see on television. So, but it appears, give us a sense of what's going on in Nevada, because that seems to be getting less coverage, at least here in the East.
Yeah, well, we have a really interesting race. It's Senator Catherine Cortez Masto. She is the first Latina senator and a Democrat, and she's up against Adam Laxalt, a Republican, a former attorney general. And Nevada is just always an interesting state, right? It's one that gets really closely watched during the presidential elections. This time, it's got a competitive Senate race, competitive governor race. It's got three of the four House races are really competitive. And it's just a good place to understand the American electorate a little bit better, particularly Hispanic voters. And the giant disclaimer asterisk that everyone's got to say now, because it's true, is that Hispanic voters aren't a monolith. We've seen Hispanic voters in Nevada behave differently than those at the Texas border. They've got different wants, different issues, different ways of looking at politics. At the same point, both Democrats and Republicans are making huge plays for Hispanic voters this election season,
okay.
And you're going to see that play out in Nevada.
What is the nuance, rather, what is the change in how Democrats are speaking to an electorate that they thought they owned 12 years ago?
So Democrats have really honed in on the issue of abortion, and this includes in states that are a little more red, a little more conservative, because they're talking about abortion as an issue of freedom. Don't let the government tell you what
that's
their
message
your body,
to Latinos,
your health care. Oh, to Latinos. I thought you meant the
no
Democrats
to Latinos
overall. I mean, that is part of their message, though, as far as the freedom aspect of it, sort of like don't let the government tell you what to do. But also, we know from polling that we've seen that the number one issue is the economy. That's true for a lot of voters across the board. And Democrats are really trying to figure out how to message with inflation remaining high. And now you see gas prices creeping back up. That could potentially cause a lot of headaches for Democrats in the next several weeks.
So, again, what do pros like you, Emily, hear from the longtime Washingtonians? Where is the Republican Party, the conservative Republican Party that maybe Tom and I grew up with, is it gone for the foreseeable future?
I wouldn't say it's gone, because you are seeing a number of candidates run in that traditional Republican mold. You know, they want the smaller government. They're trying to be fiscally conservative. They really pivot back to a lot of values, and they're not the kind to really talk about former President Trump a lot. They're not the kind to say that the 2020 election was stolen. And so they're still out there. They are still running competitive races, and there are a number of them who might win election next year, both to the House and to the Senate. But the fact of the matter is that you do have an increasing number of Republicans who are sort of further to the right than what we've seen the party previously be. And you're going to have a number of candidates get elected in the fall who very much fit that mold and very much still see Trump as the kingmaker.
Emily, thank you. Emily Wilkins with us from Washington, really heating up here finally.
Yep.
Early October as we dash to it. It's the later election this year.